Now let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 59. Psalm 59. And the title reads, "To the chief musician, Altoskith, Michtam of David, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him." Verse 1. "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold, Thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. They return at evening, they make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me or preserve me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak, consume them, that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble, a day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would grant us understanding of this psalm and the lesson that you desire us to have. We pray, Lord, that even within the deep recesses of our souls, in times of great sadness and trials, that we can turn to you even as David did. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of my favorite hymns is "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." Right, you guys know that hymn? Except I prefer it sung to the tune Aberystwyth. It sounds a lot darker, right? But it's a beautiful hymn. Now, what I find interesting is how that hymn was written. It wasn't written at a desk, right, where Charles Wesley thought about, you know, how great the Lord was. It wasn't even written, right, after he preached a great sermon. Charles Wesley wrote this hymn, right, out of he was going through a very difficult moment. He was in Ireland, right, and he was preaching in the fields of this church. And, of course, a mob came, and the mob was quite unhappy with his brand of doctrine. So what happened is they chased after him, and he escaped to a farmhouse. And at the farmhouse, the farmer's wife hid him in the milk house, you know, where they store all the milk after it's been, you know, after the cows have been milked. Then the mob approached the house, and they demanded Charles Wesley of this woman. So this brave Christian lady quietly told them to stay still while she prepared them some refreshments. Okay? suppose refreshments makes anyone happy. But what happened is that they were distracted, and while they were eating, she went to the milk house, told Charles Wesley that, you know, the would-be captors were coming, and what he did was he is there, and he was snuck out, and he hid underneath a hedge, right, just outside of the farm. And the hiding place was not far from the men. They had come out, and they were going around the farmhouse trying to look for him. And so he remained there. And while he remained there, it was next to a babbling brook, right? And so he heard it, and that's the birthplace of the hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Now, why do I bring this up? Now, that song was written out of desperation, right, out of suffering. This psalm, as well, was written out of that. You see, in the last two verses of Psalm 59, how David said, I will sing, despite all the trouble that he was going through. So the first thing really here talks about the trouble that he went through. Now, Charles Wesley was going through difficulty. The house that he was in was surrounded by a mob. David here was experiencing the same thing. You can see from the title that Saul had sent men to spy out his house, right? And the end of the spying, the purpose of the spying, was so that in the morning when he came out, they would kill him. Now, this event takes place in 1 Samuel 19. Saul sent men to the house. His wife, Michal, David's wife, and she was also Saul's daughter, knew of this, so she warned David. She helped him down a window, and he escaped. You know, you can see the parallel between what he went through and what Charles Wesley went through. So what does it feel like to be surrounded at night by vicious men who have a command from the king to kill you? And so here we felt. How did he feel in his suffering? Take a look at verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7, we see how vicious the men were. It says, they return at evening, they make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? So here they're described as being ravenous dogs. Now in those days, of course, you did have dogs which were domesticated, but the Bible here is describing them like roaming packs of dogs. You know, they would go through the city at night and attack people. So it's a picture of the danger that one experiences when he is confronted with a pack of dogs. But we see here that the nature of these attacks were not just physical. They were verbal. And this is where you get the imagery. It's kind of obscene. They belch out, right? They spit out. They vomit out. And what is it that they vomit out or spit out? They spit out swords from their mouths. So, of course, here he's talking about the devastating nature of words. And the reason why they were so vicious is because in verse 7 they thought that no one would hear them, right? They asked, for who, say they, doth hear? You know, naturally, we of course would not say the evil things that we say to people if we knew that those that that we're talking about would hear us. So here, they could say these things because they believed they would not be held accountable for their words. Now, further down, you see in verse 14 to 15, the same picture is given of howling dogs which prowl around the city, and they complain and growl when they don't get what they want. All right? So although David was surrounded, we see here that God saved him. And that's why he sang about the mercy and the power of God. Now, how did David feel? He felt in great distress. But despite that, we learn that even though people may be surrounded and attacked, they can still worship God. You know, I know so far we've been dealing with a lot of psalms that are imprecatory in nature. You know, David has faced a lot of his enemies, but you always see the same pattern over and over and over again. While he was facing trouble, or trouble faced him, yet there was this implicit trust in the Lord. Now, we ask ourselves, it's the same thing, when we go through problems, what are we like? You know, do we mope? Do we moan? Do we... Yes, that's a very real possibility. But the opposite is very true here from David's example, that there can be worship, there can be victory, there can be joy. All right, verse 16 says, "But I will sing of thy power." Right? I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. Now, throughout Christian history, the more people have been persecuted, or the more they have suffered, the more beautiful the hymns they have composed. Charles Spurgeon said, "The music of the sanctuary is in no small degree indebted to the trials of the saints." Right? You know that famous hymn, "Abide with Me"? "Abide with Me" was written by Henry Francis Light, and he wrote it towards the end of his life when his body was riddled with disease and illness, and he was, of course, to a church, right, that, wanted nothing more to do with him. Then the hymn, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," was written by Isaac Watts, and it was written during a time that was quite tumultuous. Now, if you know anything about the history of religion in the United Kingdom, you know there was the Church of England. Right? And, you know, unless you belong to the Church of England, you couldn't really be buried in the churchyard. You had to be buried somewhere else. Unless you belong to the Church of England, you couldn't really have a steady job. And so there was one act that Parliament came up with, which was about to be ratified, saying that unless you belong to the Church of England, and if you belong to what, like the Presbyterian Church or the Congregational Church, or you're a Baptist or whatever, then you couldn't get a permit from the bishop to find work. And this was about to be ratified, but it was about to be ratified, and of course they had to go through the Queen. We learned that she died. Right? So the act was never ratified. And God's people, especially those in the dissenting churches, never had to go through that extra persecution. And that is why in that hymn, Isaac Watts wrote, "Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure." Right? Now this kind of singing, this kind of worship is really born in the day of distress. Right? And I think it was John Piper who said that hymns which are written in such times are the sweetest. And that is true. Right? Now, we see next what motivated David's song. Right? In verse 16 and 17, he says, "But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Now, the reason why David could sing, the reason why he could rejoice, is because he was moved by the power and mercy of God. Right? And what we see here is that the power and the mercy of God was like a defense and refuge. Now he says this again in verse 17, right? Not just in verse 16, but also in verse 17. He says, "Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing," right? "For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Why could David worship? Why could he rejoice even though he was undergoing such trials? Namely, two things: because of the power and the mercy of God. Right? So mercy and might become our fortress in times of trial. Now this is played out in many different occasions in David's life. He knew that God was in charge. He knew that God was merciful. And so when Saul was in the cave of Adullam, David could have easily killed Saul. But he cut off the skirt because he knew that in God's timing, God will vindicate him. Right? There are other occasions as well. You know, when Jesus was captured in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, Peter came up and he struck off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. But Jesus healed him and said to Peter, put down the sword. Right, because Jesus knew that the might and the mercy of God will eventually prevail. Right? There's a story told of this young cadet corps, right? Cadet in the cadet corps of a particular university in the U.S. And it was during orientation that he was forced to run. He ran and he ran until he dropped dead. He never got up. So a short time after this tragedy, the father, who was a Christian, and the whole family was a Christian, wrote a letter to the administration, to the faculty, to the student body, and also to the corps of cadets. And he said this. His son's name was Bruce, the one who died. He said, I would like to take this opportunity to express the appreciation of my family for the great outpouring of concern and sympathy from the university and the college community over the loss of our son, Bruce. We were deeply touched by the tribute paid to him in the battalion. We were particularly pleased to note that his Christian witness noticed during his brief time on campus. He continues to say, I hope it will be some comfort to know that we harbor no ill will in this matter. We know our God makes no mistakes. So there, he talks about the might of God. Bruce had an appointment with his Lord and is now secure in his celestial home. When the question is asked, why did this happen? Perhaps one answer will be, so that many will consider where they will spend eternity. And what is that? That is mercy. When we understand mercy and might, the way we react to difficult circumstances and difficult people will be seen in how we worship God. And I suppose that is something great that we can learn from David, and that is something that we can, you know, that learn from the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the power, the ability to demonstrate the character of Christ. Lord, we admit that we are weak and immature and vindictive. We admit, Lord, that without your help, we can do nothing. We thank you for David, who shows us that despite the great trials he had gone through, and we are reminded of the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ, that despite all the trials he went through, yet he was able to worship, to sing, to surrender himself to God. And so we pray, Lord, that knowing your might, your mercy, that we would be able to surrender all to win Christ, to adopt his character, we pray, Father, that daily you will change us to be more like Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.